Morning, and thank you very much for coming. Today's Daf Nun will be familiar to us. Back on Pesach, we had in Maseches Ksubos the same Agaditas with very famous story about Rabbi Akiva and his wife Rachel, their poverty, and Rachel's tremendous devotion to the study of Torah, how she encouraged her husband to continue learning Torah. So let's begin again on Mem Tesamid Beis. At the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara related about the wife of Rabbi Yehuda, who had prepared a wonderful robe out of wool, and we mentioned that that maybe creates a chiddush din, that if you have clothing which is for both genders, it's not particularly male or female, even though we have a mitzvah in the Torah that a man should not wear a woman's clothing and a woman may not wear a man's clothing, maybe that's okay if it's for both and you could still tell that this person's a man and that this person is a woman. So the Gemara relates the story to this Sudra of Yehuda. We are six lines from the bottom. The wife of Rabbi Yehuda, Nafkis, she went out and Naktis Amra, she purchased wool of the Glima de Hutvi. She made a very prominent robe out of it. Kadnafkis Lishuka Michsaya Beit. When she'd go out into the market, she would wear this robe. The Kadnafik Rabbi Yehuda Litzluye. When Rabbi Yehuda needed to go to Shul to Davin, having the Kasi Mitzli, he used to cover himself with this robe, and in that way wear it to Davin, the Kadmichsabay, and when he would wear it, it would be so beautiful. Havam Avarech used to make the bracha, Baruch Sha Tani Me'il. We make the bracha in the morning. Blessed is God who has, you know, Malbish Arumim, who clothes those who are naked. Blessed is God who has covered me with this amazing garment. You know, Me'il is the term for the Kohen Gadol's robe. He's saying, this garment I feel is like the robe of the Kohen Gadol. Thank you, God, for this garment. Well, Zim Nochada, one time, Gazer of Shimon Gamliel, Taniser, Shimon Gamliel, instituted a fast day. Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Asa Lebe Tanisa. Rabbi Yehuda didn't come to the house of the Nasi where they were making the minyan for the fast. Amrin Le, so the other Talmidei Chachamim told Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lo Isla Kisuya. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even have nice clothing to wear, and that's why he's not coming to Shul. Shadale Glima. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sent him a robe. I guess at this point his wife was out wearing the robes, so he didn't have something to wear. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sent him a different robe to wear. But Lo Kibel, he didn't want to accept it. What did he do? Dali Tzifta. Rabbi Yehuda lifted the mat on which he was sitting, Amalei the Shlucha, and he told the emissary of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Chazima Ika, look what I have. And underneath the mat there were then golden coins. He said, I have lots of gold, and I'm not using the gold to go buy a robe, because apparently this gold was a miracle. It showed up just because he wanted to show it. And therefore, I'm not using it because I don't want to get benefit from Maisa and Isim. I don't want to get benefit from miracles that God does. And Milo Nichalid is Hanibadein Alma. It's not pleasant for me. It's not something I accept to benefit in this world. So the Gemara now relates about Rabbi Akiva. So just said Rabbi Yehuda was poor. Now we have the famous story that we had in Maseches Ksubis about Rabbi Akiva and the terrible poverty that he had, but the tremendous love of Torah that his wife Rachel had. Rabbi Akiva is Kaddish Lebrati, the Bar Kalbasavua. Rabbi Akiva, the daughter of Kalbasavua, was one of the three wealthiest men of Jerusalem, was betrothed to Rabbi Akiva. Now, he was a simple shepherd who was the son of a convert. The convert took the name Yosef, but still Rabbi Akiva was the son of a convert. He was a shepherd. So Shama Kalbasavua heard that his daughter had married Rabbi Akiva, and he got so upset. Adra Ana Mikol Nichsei. He made a neder that she could not get any benefit from any of his possessions. and that was it. He was pushing them out of the family. So she didn't care. Azal v'sniseiv betle. So she went and she had an nisuin with Rabbi Akiva. This sitva, it was during the winter, but they had no access to her father's wealth. They had no money, so they had nowhere to live. So they ended up finding a place in the barn together with the animals. Avuganu beitivna. They were living in a house filled with hay. Have a kamankit leitivna minmazia. So in the morning here you have this wealthy woman sleeping on hay. And in the morning, Rabbi Akiva used to have to pick the little pieces of hay out of her hair. Amar las, Rabbi Akiva said to his wife, Eva Voili, someday if I ever have wealth, Minalach, Yerushalayim Dedava, instead of pulling out the golden colored pieces of hay from your hair, I will adorn your head with a tiara of gold on which will be shaped the relief of the city of Jerusalem. A crown of gold, which we learned about in Maseches Shabbos, that in fact he got for her. As Eliyahu. So Eliyahu Anavi came in order to comfort Rabbi Akiva and his wife Rachel. So what did he do? Idma lahon ki'insha. He appeared as a person, the Kakari Ababa, and he stood on the doorway and he called out, Amaluhu, and he said to the people who were in this barn, Havali Portadativna, can you give me a little bit of hay? Dialdit Itzi, my wife gave birth, the Lesla Midam Laguna, and she doesn't have anything to lay down on. So give her, could you lend me or donate to me a little bit of hay? Amalah Rabbi Akiva l'intzei. Rabbi Akiva said to his wife Rachel, Chazi Gavra, see this person? Tafilu tivna lo islei. He doesn't even have hay. And so we have it better than him. So we shouldn't feel so bad. We should be thankful. God's made it good for us. We have some hay. Amalah, so Rachel said to Rabbi Akiva, Zil havi be rav, go learn in yeshiva. Azal, he went. He spent 12 years learning in front of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Lemishlam Tartes Rishnit, very famous story. After Rabbi Akiva spent 12 years learning from Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua, Kaasala Beise, he returned home. Shama Minachore Beise, when he wasn't even in the home yet, he heard from behind the home. There was some wicked man who said to his wife, Shapir Avad L'Chavuch. What a wicked man. He tried to rub it in. He said, your father did the right thing in making a neder that you not get any benefit from your father because he wanted to stop you from marrying Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva is a horrible person. So your father did the right thing. Chada, first of all, Rabbi Akiva is not like you. I mean, you're the daughter of one of the wealthiest men of Jerusalem. Rabbi Akiva is the son of a convert. So, you know, it's not exactly the same yichus. It's not an appropriate family. Oh, and furthermore, Rabbi Akiva is leaving you all these years as if you are a widow and you're alive and he's alive. What a horrible thing. Amrelei, so Rachel said to this wicked person, Rabbi Akiva is hearing the whole thing from outside. If he'd listen to me, let him be in the yeshiva for another 12 years. So Amar Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, obviously, Rishusa. All right, she's giving me permission. I'm going to turn back. So he didn't even walk in to say hello. He turned right away to go back. The Rosh Yeshiva liked to say, you see, that even to take a break for 1 minute would apparently diminish the level of learning. So he didn't even go in to say hi. He turned right around and went back.
I had a problem with it because he's not Mekayem Mitzvot Torah too. He has to be with his wife, Rabbi.
But she's Mochel. She wants him to go learn. She's telling him to go learn. So Hadar Azal. So he went back. And Avatar to Sri Shnei Achrin Aiser. Rabbi Akiva spent another 12 years in the yeshiva. So a total 24 years of learning. But after 24 years, according to the Gemara here, also he came back to Jerusalem, Behesin Varba Alfin Zugi Talmida, with 24,000 Chavrusa pairs of students, a total of 48,000 students. Nafikuli Amal Ape, so the whole world came out to greet him. Vafi Kamala Mepaklape. So the wife of Rabbi Akiva, Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua, also got up to go greet him. Amaleahu Rashia, so that same wicked man said to her, Vat Lehecha, where are you going? I mean, you don't have any nice clothing, any nice jewelry, any nice cosmetics. Who are you to go greet the big Talmud Chacham? Amrale, she said, Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Behento. The tzaddik knows the nature of his animal. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. In other words, maybe Akiva is going to recognize me. He knows me. He knows all that I've done for him. So when she came, Matchan lo Rabbana, the rabbis were trying to push her away. Amar lahon, Rabbi Akiva said to them, Hanichula, I didn't know, let this woman in. Shali, whatever Torah is mine, and therefore Shalachem, whatever Torah is yours, Shalahu really belongs to her. Because it was all in her merit. Shama Kabbal Savua. Kabbal Savua heard that this big Talmud Chacham came to Jerusalem. Also, Itchel Al Nidre. So he went to try to remove his neder that he had pushed out his daughter and son-in-law from getting anything of his possessions. Ishtarye, Ishtari. So Rabbi Akiva removed the neder, and then Rabbi Akiva was able to get from the wealth of Kabbal Savua. He ended up getting half of Kabbal Savua's wealth. So now the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was rich from six different sources. Minshit milei at Rabbi Akiva. From six sources, Rabbi Akiva became wealthy. What is this story, Min Kabbal Savua? Originally, when he married the daughter of Kabbal Savua had said, Neder, that no one's getting any, you're not getting any of my money. But 24 years later, when Rabbi Akiva came back with 48,000 students, they removed the neder, and Kabbal Savua gave him a lot of money. The second story was from the Romans. Min Ila de Sfinta, from the deer on a boat. The Romans used to make a wooden statue of a deer and put it on boats. And it was a sign that just like the deer runs fast, the boat should be fast. So some sort of superstition, and they would fill this statue with gold coins. So one time, every such Roman vessel that used to make this this deer gold coin receptacle and put it on the vessel as a sign of speed, Zimnachada, one time on Shiyua, the people forgot it. Al Kefiyama, on the seashore. Asahu v'ashkechei. Rabbi Akiva went and he found it. And the Ran says he returns it. And the Roman said, oh, you're so nice, you're returning, you're so honest, you're willing to return our chest of coins that we forgot. You can keep them. So that was the second way he became wealthy. The third way was Min Gavza, from a treasure chest. What happened? The Zimna Chada Yaev Arba Zuzi the Sapinoi. Rabbi Akiva once was looking to make money, so he gave four zuz to sailors. And Amalu, I see the Midam. He said, get for me something, and you know, buy for me something with these monies, I'll already sell it. Below Ashkechu El Gavza, the only thing they could find was this treasure chest. Al Kef Yama, on the seashore. Asiu Ale, they brought it to Rabbi Akiva. Amrule Avid Marana Ale. They said Rabbi Akiva should wait. You know, all we brought you is a box. We're going to go find other things. Ishtakach Tava Mali Dinri. But then it turned out that treasure chest was filled with coins. Why? Zimnachada Tava Tzvinata. There was one time that a boat of merchants had sunk. Kule Iska Hava Machis Bahu Gavs. All the money from all of their merchandise they had put into this treasure chest. The boat sank, and this treasure chest floated away. Ishtakach Bahu Zimna. And that's what they found at that time. Rabbi Akiva found it, and it was the man Truskita. It was from a group of Arabs who were traveling, and that ended up also enriching Rabbi Akiva. The fourth thing that enriched Rabbi Akiva was min Matrunisa, from the wealthy Roman woman. That's a story later in Shas. That Rabbi Akiva once went to borrow money from a woman, and he said to her, "I guarantee that in a year from now I'm going to pay it back." She said, "I don't want just your word. I need guarantors. The guarantors will be God and the sea." Well, a year later, he was sick and he couldn't come to give the money back. So she went out to the sea and she said, "God, you're the guarantor of Rabbi Akiva's loan." So out of the sea came a treasure chest with much more money than just what she had lent out to Rabbi Akiva. So a couple days later, Rabbi Akiva got better. He came to her. She said, no problem. God already paid back the loan. I'll give you even the extras past what God paid for the loan." And he became wealthy from that episode as well. And the fifth way in which he became wealthy was Min Ishto Shalturnus Rufus. Again, this is elsewhere in Shas. There was a Roman by the name of Rufus that used to argue with Rabbi Akiva in front of the Caesar. And Rabbi Akiva used to continually prove him wrong. So he came home and he complained to his wife, "Rabbi Akiva is making me into a fool." She said, "You know what, I'm going to make him fall. I'm going to get him to do an Aveira." So she put on cosmetics and nice clothes. And she went out to try to get Rabbi Akiva to do an Aveira. And Rabbi Akiva spat. Rabbi Akiva cried. And Rabbi Akiva laughed. She said, "What are you doing these things for?" He said, "Well, I spat because you just come from a miserable drop of seed. And something which comes from a miserable drop of seed is going to get me to do an Aveira. I cried because I know that you're eventually going to die, and here such beauty is going to decay in the earth." He didn't tell her why he laughed. The reason why he laughed is because he saw through Ruach HaKodesh that eventually her husband would die and that he would marry her. And that's what happened. Her husband died. She was so taken. She converted. She became Jewish. And she eventually married him after his wife Rachel died. And then she brought him all this wealth from her husband Rufus. That was the fifth way Rabbi Akiva became a very wealthy man. And the sixth way in which Rabbi Akiva became a very wealthy man was from a Roman nobleman whose name was Ktia Bar Shalom. What happened was that there was a Caesar who hated the Jews. He wanted to kill the Jews. So he said to his nobleman, "If somebody has gangrene in his foot, what should he do? Should he cut off his foot or not?" So he has to cut off the foot. "Well, the same thing. There are Jews here. I need to cut off the Jews. Yes, I'm going to hurt my kingdom, but it's worthwhile to do because the Jews bother me." So this Roman nobleman said, "One second, the Jews are compared to the wind. Just like the world needs wind, your kingdom needs Jews. And if you're going to kill the Jews, it's going to end up hurting you." So the Caesar said, "You're right, but I don't want to be embarrassed. Anybody who embarrasses the Caesar has to die in jail." So when they were taking him to drop him into a pit of quicksand, there was a Roman nobleman who walked by and said, what a pity to have a boat that doesn't pay taxes. In other words, you're suffering as a Jew, and yet you never paid the tax of joining the Jewish people, of doing bris milah. So he was so taken with that, he himself, while being taken to jail, tore off his foreskin and did a bris milah. He said, "Look, I've done a bris milah. I've joined the Jewish people." When they threw him into the quicksand, he said, "I'm giving all of my possessions to Rabbi Akiva and his friends," which meant half to Rabbi Akiva and half to the friends of Rabbi Akiva. So that was the sixth way Rabbi Akiva became very, very wealthy.
Rabbi,
yeah.
In the quotation, it says, Rabbi Akiva, I never knew.
After Rachel died, he married the former wife of Rufus. Turnus Rufus, yes.
He didn't have children with Rachel, I think.
I don't remember.
When he said when he, Rabbi Akiva helped him solve the
matter,
Isn't that conflict of interest?
Isn't that interesting? Apparently it's okay, even with the conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, right? It's very interesting. Rav Gamda, now I'm talking some more stories. Rav Gamda, Yoiv, Arba, Zuzi, Lesapu, Noi, Lasuya, Bun, Modam. Rav Gamda once gave 4 zuz to sailors, and he said, "Go bring me something. Lo Ashkechu, they didn't find anything that they could bring him. Asiru Lubahon Kofa, so they brought him a monkey. So Ishtamit, the monkey ran away. Alacharsa, and he ran into a hole. So they were trying to run after the monkey to bring it to Rav Kamda. So Chafru Basrei, they started to dig after the monkey in the hole. Ashkechu de Revia Margalaisa, and they found him sitting on top of pearls. Wow. So then they said, you know what, if God sent this monkey into this hole, it must be, it's really your monkey. God wants you to get the pearls. I seen and le, so, I teen and le kulhum, they brought him all the pearls. And then Mefarshim explain here, this is an example of what the Gemara says elsewhere, that the sailors are chassidim. The sailors are big tzaddikim. They go, lefnim yishur sadin, they're at the sea, they have to rely on God a lot. They're big tzaddikim because they could have kept these pearls for themselves. But they said, no. God sent the monkey to show us the pearls, and we got the monkey for Rav Gamda. That means God wants Rav Gamda to get the pearls, and they gave Rav Gamda the pearls. Amr Leibas Kesel Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the daughter of the Caesar. We saw this in Masechet Tanit. Said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was a very brilliant man, but physically ugly. So she said, Torah Mephora, Torah which is so glorious, it's God's wisdom. But Kli Mechuar, does it belong in an ugly vessel? Amr Allah Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said back to her, Limni Beis Avich, why don't you learn from your father's palace? Bameh Manichin Yayin, where is the nice wine placed? Amr Leh, she said, Bimani de Fachra, well, it's placed in the earthenware vessels that aren't so nice. So Amr Leh, she said, Kuli Alma Bafachra, listen, everybody else is poor, they have to put their wine into earthenware vessels. Vatun, but you're the king. Bimani de Fachra, you're going to put them into earthenware vessels. You should go put your fine wine in nice vessels, in gold and silver vessels. So she liked the idea. So she went and took all of her wine and put it into decanters of gold and silver. So what happened? The sari, the wine spoiled. The Torah is like this. In other words, God's Torah is beautiful. But if you put God's beautiful Torah in a beautifully shaped and appearance, and a person of appearance, the person's going to become a Baal Gaiva. They'll become arrogant. They'll say, listen, I'm physically beautiful, I'm intellectually beautiful, and God would rather not have the Torah if the Torah is going to make a person into an arrogant being. So God prefers to put the Torah into somebody who's humble because he looks ugly. Aphoraisa came, the Torah is this way. So she said, one second, there are some rabbis who look very nice and they have a lot of Torah. Amalas Rabbi Shimon Chananya said, if they would be ugly, have a gemir and tfei, they'd know more Torah. If they'd be ugly and they'd be humble, they would have better knowledge of Torah. There was a woman who once came from the Hardah to Yehuda to be judged. And he convicted her. Amalasa, the woman said, Shmuel, Rabbi Chachi Danan, would Shmuel, your teacher, have judged us in this way? Amalasa, the Tana, the Amor Rav Yehuda said to her, one second, Yadutle, did you ever meet my teacher Shmuel? Amalayin, she said, yeah, I knew Shmuel. Gutza, he was a really short man. The Rabbi Krese, and he had a huge stomach. Ukis, he had a black face. The Rabbi Shine, and he had oversized teeth. Amalasa, he said to her, Levazuyas Kasis, what you're trying to insult Shmuel? To have Yahitsa Bishamta, let this woman be excommunicated. Paka Vemesa, she collapsed and died. So the Mishnah said that if a man made a neder not to have a tavshil, so he still could have shrunken eggs. Mutter bebeitza turmita. My beitza turmita, what are these shrunken eggs? Amar Shmuel said, Avdudavidly, if I could find a slave who would know how to make these shrunken eggs, I would give for that Shavi Alpha Dina. That would be worth 1,000 dinrin. Why? Because he has to know Mayule Alpha Zimna B'maya Chamima. He has to know how to drop this egg 1,000 times into boiling water, hot water, and then Alpha Zimna B'maya Kira 1,000 times in cold water. Ad Mitzutra till it shrinks. Ki Hecha Devalisa. So that it becomes like that. That Israeli camera pill, so that you could swallow it. And when you swallow this egg, in Iskiva, if there's a wound in the intestines, Sarachale, the wound goes onto this egg. The Kadnafka Va'asya, when this shrunken egg comes out on the other side of the body, Yada Asya Mai Samim is boiling. The doctor knows how to treat this wound. With a my mitzi and how to heal him.
This is the camera,
right? The Gemara spoke about it. Shmuel, he had this wound in his intestines. Have a badik nafshe bekulcha. He used to test himself with this other thing called kulcha. It wasn't, he didn't know how to make this shrunken egg. And oh my gosh, Nebuch, he was in such pain because this kulcha couldn't come out of the body that he fainted. The people of his household, his wife, his daughters, they were so upset, they tore their hair out of their heads. Nebuch Shmuel collapsed because of he was trying to figure out what was going on inside of him. Well, we learned in a Mishnah, it's not awesome. There's the mitzvah in the Torah that when someone's working in a vineyard, he's allowed to eat from the grapes that are growing there. It's not us, we're looking at a Mishnah, but he's not allowed to eat from the figs that are growing there. So we looked at a Mishnah in Maestras. So the Klufsin, if a person's working with one type of figs, lo yochel b'vno sheva, he can't eat the other types of figs that are in the field. B'vno sheva, lo yochel b'klufsin. If he's working with the b'no sheva, he can't eat the klufsin. My klufsin, what a klufsin? Mina d'tehene d'avdim in hon lapti. It's a type of figs that they make out of it, this cooked fig dish called lapti. Ahu Gavre, there was a guy, the Yoev Avdel Lechavre. He gave his slave over to his friend so that his friend would teach his slave, like Muri Alpha Mina Lafti, 1,000 forms of this fig dish. Wow. Agmure Tamname, he only taught him 800 forms. Azmin Ladina, so then he took the guy to a court case. Lakama de Rebbe, he said, I wanted my slave to know 1,000 recipes. He only knows 800 recipes. So Rabbi said, Avoseinu Amru Nashinu Tova. Our ancestors, when they lost the Beis HaMikdash, said, oh, we've forgotten all of the good things in life. You know, whatever good enjoyments we had, we're forgetting because we're so sad because we lost the Beis HaMikdash. We haven't even seen what the good life is. And you're demanding 1,000 recipes for one dish. Rabbi Avid Lehilula, Reb Shimon Barabbi. Rabbi, though, himself, he had a pretty good life. He once made a wedding for his son Reb Shimon. Kasav al Beis Kenana, Esrin Varba Alfi Ribon Dinrin. He wrote on the wedding that he'd spent 240 million dinar on the wedding party. Nafku al Beis Kenana Dain were spent for this wedding party. V'lo Azmin la Bar Kapar. Even so, he didn't invite Bar Kapar to the wedding. So Bar Kapar was offended. Amar Leh, he said to Rebbe, Im lovi ritzono kach, lo si ritzono lachas kama v'kama. If God would give those who violate his will enough money to spend 240 million dinar on a wedding, can you imagine what he's going to give to someone like me who does his will? So Azmanei, then Rebbe invited him to the wedding. So Amar Sabar Kapara said, Lo si ritzono bolam azeh kach. If God gives to those who fulfill his will in this world 240 million dinar for a wedding, bolam abba lachas kama v'kama. To the next world, who could even imagine?